Chapter 10. December 1770. Right bracket, Thursday, 27th. Moderate breezes at west and northwest, with fair weather. At 6 a.m. weighed, and stood out to sea. At noon the island of Edam bore north by east, distant 3 miles. Friday, 28th. Winds variable between the north and west. At 6 in the evening anchored in 13 fathoms, Edam Island bearing east, distant 112 miles. At daylight in the morning weighed again, and keep plying to windward between Edam and Duffin's Island, but gained very little owing to the variableness of the winds. Saturday, 29th. In the P.M. anchored in 12 fathoms water in the evening until daylight, when we got again under sail, with the wind at west-southwest, and stood out northwest for the Thousand Islands. Before noon the wind veered to northwest, and we endeavored to turn through between Pulo Pear and Wapping Island. Sunday, 30th. After making a short trip to the northeast, we tacked, and weathered Pulo Pear, and stood in for the main, having the wind at northwest, a fresh breeze. We fetched Maniater's Island, a small island laying under the main midway between Batavia and Bantam, after making a trip to the northeast, and finding that we lost ground. We stood in shore again, and anchored in 13 fathoms, the above-mentioned island bearing southwest by west, distant 1 mile, and in one with Bantam Hill. At 7 a.m. weighed, with the wind at west-southwest, and stood to the northwest, and weathered Wapping Island, having the current in our favor. Monday, 31st. At 1 p.m. the wind veered to the northward. We tack and stood to the westward, and weathered Pulo Baby. In the evening anchored between this island and Bantam Bay, the island bearing north, distant 2 miles, and Bantam Point west. At 5 a.m. weighed with the wind at west by south, which afterwards proved variable. At noon Bantam Point southwest 12 west, distant 3 leagues. January, 1771. Tuesday, 1st. In the P.M. stood over for the Sumatra shore, having the wind at south-southwest, a fresh breeze, and the current in our favor, but this last shifted and set to the eastward in the evening, and obliged us to anchor in 30 fathoms, under the islands which lay off Varican's Point, which point constitutes the narrowest part of the Straits of Sunda. Here we found the current set to the southwest the most part of the night. At 5 a.m. weighed with the wind at northwest, and stood to the southwest between the island thwart the way and Sumatra. The wind soon after coming to the westward we stood over for the Java shore. At noon the south point of Peeper Bay bore southwest by south, and anchor point northeast 12 east, distant 2 leagues, tacked and stood to the northwest. Wednesday, 2nd. First and middle parts fresh breezes at southwest, and fair the remainder, squally with rain, plying to windward between Krakatoa and the Java shore without gaining anything. Thursday, 3rd. In the P.M. had it very squally, with heavy showers of rain. At 12 past 7 anchored in 19 fathoms, Krakatoa Island southwest, distance 3 leagues. In the morning came to sail, having very squally variable weather. At noon Krakatoa west 2 leagues. Friday, 4th. Most part of these 24 hours squally, rainy weather, winds variable between the north-northwest and south-southwest. At 5 p.m. anchored in 28 fathoms water, Krakatoa west, distant 3 miles. Some time after the wind veered to northwest, with which we got under sail, but the wind dying away we advanced but little to the southwest before noon, at which time Prince's Island bore southwest, distance 8 or 9 leagues. Saturday, 5th. Had fresh breezes at southwest, with squally, rainy weather until the evening, when it clear up, and the wind veered to south and southeast, with which we stood to the southwest all night. In the morning the wind veered to northeast, which was still in our favor. At noon Prince's Island bore west 12 south, distant 3 leagues. At anchor, Prince's Island, Sunda Strait. Right bracket, Sunday, 6th. At 3 o'clock in the P. M anchored under the southeast side of Prince's Island in 18 fathoms water, in order to requite our wood and water, and to procure refreshments for the people, which are now in a much worse state of health than when we left Batavia. After coming to an anchor, I went on shore to look at the water in place, and to speak with the natives, some of whom were upon the beach. I found the water in place convenient, and the water to all appearance good, provided proper care is taken in the filling of it. The natives seemed inclined to supply us with turtle, fowls, etc., semicolon articles that I intended laying in as great a stock as possible for the benefit of the sick, and to suffer everyone to purchase what they pleased for themselves, as I found these people as easy to traffic with as Europeans. In the morning, sent the gunner ashore with some hands to fill water, while others were employed putting the hole to rights, sending on shore empty casks, etc. Served turtle to the ship's company. Yesterday was the only salt meat day they have had since our arrival at Java, which is now near 4 months. Monday, 7th. From this day till Monday 14th we were employed wooding and watering, being frequently interrupted by heavy rains. Having now completed both, we hoisted in the long boat, and made ready to put to sea, having on board a pretty good stock of refreshments, which we purchased of the natives, such as turtle, fowls, fish, two species of deer, one about as big as a small sheep, the other no bigger than a rabbit. Both sorts eat very well, but are only for present use, as they seldom lived above 24 hours in our possession. We likewise got fruit of several sorts, such as cocoa nuts, plantains, limes, etc. The trade on our part was carried on chiefly with money, Spanish dollars, the natives set, but little value upon anything else. Such of our people as had not this article traded with old shirts, etc., at a great disadvantage. Batavia to Cape Town. Tuesday, 15th. At variable light airs of wind, with which we could not get under sail until the morning, when we weighed with a light breeze at northeast, which was soon succeeded by a calm. Wednesday, 16th. Had it calm all p.m., which at 5 o'clock obliged us to anchor under the south point of Prince's Island, the said point bearing southwest by west, distance 2 miles. At 8 o'clock in the a.m. a light breeze sprung up at north, with which we weighed and stood out to sea. At noon Java head bore southeast by south, distance 2 leagues, and the west point of Prince's Island north-northwest, distance 5 leagues, latitude observed 6 degrees 45 minutes south. Java head, from which I take my departure, lies in the latitude of 6 degrees 49 minutes south, and longitude 255 degrees 12 minutes west from the meridian of Greenwich, deduced from several astronomical observations made at Batavia by the Reverend Mr. Moore.
The true longitude of Java Head is 254 degrees 49 minutes west.
Thursday, 17th. Little wind and fair at 6 p.m. Java Head bore east-northeast, distant 4 or 5 leagues. At 6 a.m. it bore north-northeast, 12 leagues. Wind northeast. Course south 27 degrees 15 minutes west, distance 48 miles, latitude 7 degrees 32 minutes south, longitude 255 degrees 35 minutes west. Friday, 18th. Light airs and calms, with showers of rain. Wind variable, course southwest 12 south, distance 30 miles, latitude 7 degrees 55 minutes south. Longitude 255 degrees 54 minutes west. Saturday, 19th. For the most part of these 24 hours, had little wind and fair weather. Wind westerly, course south 3 degrees east, distance 53 miles, latitude 8 degrees 48 minutes south, longitude 255 degrees 51 minutes west. Sunday, 20th. Light airs and calms, with some showers of rain. Saw 2 sail in the northwest quarter standing to the southwest, one of them shewed Dutch colors. Wind northwesterly, course south 44 degrees west, distance 36 miles, latitude 9 degrees 14 minutes south, Longitude 256 degrees 15 minutes west. Monday, 21st. First part little wind, the remainder a gentle breeze, the two sail in sight. Wind easterly. Course south 57 degrees west. Distance 58 miles. Latitude 9 degrees 46 minutes south. Longitude 257 degrees 5 minutes west. Tuesday, 22nd. Little wind and fair weather. Wind southwesterly. Course north 10 degrees west. Distance 17 miles. Latitude 9 degrees 29 minutes south. Longitude 257 degrees 8 minutes west. Wednesday, 23rd. Ditto weather. A swell from the southward, and which we have had ever since we left the Straits of Sunda. Wind ditto, course east southerly. Distance 18 miles. Latitude 9 degrees 30 minutes south. Longitude 256 degrees 50 minutes west. Thursday, 24th. First part light airs, the remainder calm. NEA. M. Died John Truslov. Corporal of Marines, a man much esteemed by everybody on board. Many of our people at this time lay dangerously ill of fevers and fluxes. We are inclinable to attribute this to the water we took in at Prince's Island, and have put lime into the casks in order to purify it. Wind southwest by south to south southeast, course south, distance 4 miles, latitude 9 degrees 34 minutes south. Longitude 256 degrees 50 minutes west. Friday, 25th. Light airs and calms. Hot sultry weather. Departed this life Mr. Sporing, a gentleman belonging to Mr. Banks' retinue. Wind variable and calms. Course south 30 degrees east. Distance 12 miles. Latitude 9 degrees 44 minutes south. Longitude 256 degrees 44 minutes west. Saturday, 26th. First part little wind, the remainder calm and very hot. Set up the topmast rigging, and clear a ship between decks, and wash her with vinegar. Wind southwesterly, course southeast, distance 17 miles, latitude 9 degrees 56 minutes south, longitude 256 degrees 32 minutes west. Sunday, 27th. Little wind, and sometimes calm. In the evening, found the variation to be 2 degrees 51 minutes west. Departed this life Mr. Sidney Parkinson, natural history painter to Mr. Banks, and soon after John Ravenhill, sailmaker, a man much advanced in years. Wind variable, course south 30 degrees west, distance 19 miles, latitude 10 degrees 12 minutes south. Longitude 256 degrees 41 minutes west. Monday, 28th. Moderate breezes, with some squalls, attended with showers of rain. Wind west-northwest, northeast, course south 43 degrees west, distance 66 miles, latitude 11 degrees 0 minutes south, longitude 257 degrees 27 west. Tuesday, 29th. Very variable weather, sometimes squally, with rain, other times little wind and calms. In the night died Mr. Charles Green, who was sent out by the Royal Society to observe the transit of Venus. He had long been in a bad state of health, which he took no care to repair, but, on the contrary, lived in such a manner as greatly promoted the disorders he had had long upon him. This brought on the flux, which put a period to his life. Wind northwesterly, course south 40 degrees west, distance 74 miles, latitude 11 degrees 57 minutes south, longitude 258 degrees 15 minutes west. Wednesday, 30th. First and latter parts moderate breezes and cloudy weather, the middle squally, with rain, thunder, and lightning. Died of the flux Samuel Moody and Francis Haight, two of the carpenter's crew. Wind easterly, course south 40 degrees west, distance 67 miles, latitude 12 degrees 48 minutes south, longitude 258 degrees 59 minutes west. Thursday, 31st. First part moderate and fair, the remainder frequent squalls, attended with showers of rain. In the course of this 24 hours we have had 4 men died of the flux, viz. John Thompson, ship's cook, Benjamin Jordan, carpenter's mate, James Nicholson and Archibald Wolfe, seaman. A melancholy proof of the calamitous situation we are at present in, having hardly well men enough to tend the sails and look after the sick, many of whom are so ill that we have not the least hopes of their recovery. Wind east southeast, course southwest, distance 80 miles, latitude 13 degrees 42 minutes south, longitude 259 degrees 55 minutes west. February 1771. Friday, February 1st. Fresh gales, with flying showers of rain. Cleaned between decks, and washed with vinegar. Wind southeast by south. Course south 58.12 degrees west. Distance 119 miles. Latitude 14 degrees 44 minutes south. Longitude 261 degrees 40 minutes west. Saturday, 2nd. A fresh trade, and mostly fair weather. Departed this life Daniel Roberts, gunner's servant, who died of the flux. Since we have had a fresh trade wind this fatal disorder hath seemed to be a day stand. Yet there are several people which are so far gone, and brought so very low by it, that we have not the least hopes of their recovery. Wind east southeast, course south 61 degrees west, distance 131 miles, latitude 15 degrees 48 minutes south, longitude 264 degrees 16 minutes west. Sunday, 3rd. Ditto weather. In the evening, found the variation to be 2 degrees 56 minutes west. Departed this life John Thurman, sailmaker's assistant. Wind ditto, course south 65 degrees west, distance 128 miles, latitude 16 degrees 40 minutes south, longitude 266 degrees 16 west. Monday, 4th. A fresh trade and hazy weather, with some squalls, attended with small rain, unbent the main topsail to repair, and bent another. In the night died of the flux Mr. John Booty, midshipman, and Mr. John Gathry, boatswain. Wind southeast, course south 69 degrees west, distance 141 miles, latitude 17 degrees 30 minutes south, longitude 268 degrees 32 minutes west. Tuesday, 5th. A fresh trade wind, and hazy, cloudy weather. Employed repairing sails, appointed Samuel Evans, one of the boatswain's mates, and coxswain of the pinnace, to be boatswain, in the room of Mr. Gathry, deceased, and ordered a survey, to be taken of the stores. Wind east by south, course west 15 degrees south, distance 141 miles, latitude 18 degrees 6 minutes south, longitude 270 degrees 54 minutes west. Wednesday, 6th. A fresh trade wind and fair weather. In the night died Mr. John Monkhouse, midshipman, and brother to the late surgeon. Wind southeast, course west 12 degrees south, distance 126 miles, latitude 18 degrees 30 minutes south, longitude 272 degrees 28 minutes west. Thursday, 7th. Gentle gales, with some showers in the night. In the evening, found the variation to be 3 degrees 24 minutes west, and in the morning I took several observations of the sun and moon, the mean result of which, carried on to noon, gave 276 degrees 19 minutes west longitude from Greenwich, which is 2 degrees to the westward of that given by the log. This, I believe, is owing to a following sea, which I have not as yet allowed, for I judge it to be 6 miles a day, since we have had the southeast trade wind. Wind southeast, course south 75 degrees 15 minutes west, distance 110 miles, latitude 18 degrees 58 minutes south, longitude 274 degrees 20 minutes per log, 276 degrees 19 minutes per observation. Friday, 8th. Winds as yesterday, clear weather in the day, and show ray in the night. In the morning, took observations again of the sun and moon, the mean result of which, reduced to noon, gave 278 degrees 50 minutes west, which is 2 degrees 31 minutes west of yesterday's observation. The log gives 2 degrees 20 minutes. Wind southeast, course south 78 degrees west, distance 127 miles, latitude 19 degrees 24 minutes south, longitude 276 degrees 40 minutes per log. 278 degrees 50 minutes per observation. Saturday, 9th. Gentle gales and fair weather in the morning. Saw a ship on our larboard quarter, which hoisted Dutch colors. Wind southeast, course south 74 degrees 30 minutes west, distance 127 miles, latitude 19 degrees 58 minutes south. Sunday, 10th. Fresh breezes and hazy weather. Lost sight in the night of the Dutch ship, she having outsailed us. Wind southeast quarter, course south 77 degrees 15 minutes west, distance 136 miles, latitude 20 degrees 28 minutes south, longitude 281 degrees 12 minutes west. Monday, 11th. Winds and weather as yesterday. Some hands constantly employed repairing sails. Wind ditto. Course south 75 degrees west, distance 126 miles, latitude 20 degrees 58 minutes south, longitude 283 degrees 22 minutes west. Tuesday, 12th. Gentle breezes and fair weather. At 7 a.m. died of the flux, after a long and painful illness, Mr. John Satterley, carpenter, a man much esteemed by me, and every gentleman on board. In his room I appoint George Nowell, one of the carpenter's crew, having only him, and one more left. Wind south-southeast, course south 71 minutes west, distance 83 miles, latitude 21 degrees 25 minutes south, longitude 284 degrees 46 minutes west. Wednesday, 13th. Weather as yesterday. Employed surveying the carpenter's stores and repairing sails. Wind ditto, course south 72 degrees 30 minutes west, distance 87 miles, latitude 21 degrees 51 minutes south, longitude 286 degrees 15 minutes west. Thursday, 14th. Moderate breezes and cloudy, with some showers of rain. Variation per azimuth 4 degrees 10 minutes west. Died Alexander Lindsay, seaman. This man was one of those we got at Batavia, and had been some time in India. Winds ditto, course south 73 degrees 15 minutes west, distance 105 miles, latitude 22 degrees 21 minutes south, longitude 288 degrees 3 minutes west. Friday, 15th. Ditto weather. Died of the flux Daniel Preston, marine. Wind southeast by east. Course south 81 degrees 15 minutes west, distance 123 miles, latitude 22 degrees 40 minutes, longitude 290 degrees 15 minutes west. Saturday, 16th. A fresh trade and cloudy weather. Employed repairing sails, rigging, etc. Wind ditto, course south 84 degrees west, distance 115 miles. Latitude 22 degrees 52 minutes south, longitude 292 degrees 20 minutes west. Sunday, 17th. Fresh gales, with some showers of rain. Variation per azimuth 10 degrees 20 minutes westerly. Wind southeast by south, course south 79 degrees 45 minutes west, distance 157 miles, latitude 23 degrees 20 minutes south. Longitude 295 8 minutes west. Monday, 18th. Fair and pleasant weather. Wind southeast by east. Course south 75 degrees 30 minutes west. Distance 148 miles. Latitude 23 degrees 57 minutes south. Longitude 297 degrees 46 minutes west. Tuesday, 19th. Ditto weather. Wind southeast by east and south. Course south 77 degrees west, distance 130 miles, latitude 24 degrees 26 minutes south, longitude 300 degrees 5 minutes west. Wednesday, 20th. Fresh gales and clear weather. Variation per azimuth 12 degrees 15 minutes west. This morning the carpenter and his mate set about repairing the longboat, being the first day they have been able to work since we left Prince's Island. Wind south. Course south 75 degrees 45 minutes west. Distance 127 miles. Latitude 24 degrees 57 minutes south. Longitude 302 degrees 21 minutes west. Thursday, 21st. First and middle parts fair weather, latter squally, attended with showers of rain. Between 2 and 3 o'clock p.m. took several observations of the sun and moon. The mean result of them gave 306 degrees 33 minutes west longitude from Greenwich, which is 1 degree 55 minutes west of account, and corresponds very well with the last observations, for at that time the ship was 2 degrees 10 minutes west of account. In the night died of the flux Alexander Simpson, a very good seaman. In the morning punished Thomas Rossiter with 12 lashes for getting drunk, grossly assaulting the officer of the watch, and beating some of the sick. Wind south to east southeast, course west by south. Distance 126 miles, latitude 25 degrees 21 minutes south, longitude 304 degrees 39 minutes per account, 306 degrees 34 minutes per observation. Friday, 22nd. Fresh trade and fair weather. Nothing remarkable. Wind southeast by south, course south 70 degrees 45 minutes west. Distance 133 miles, latitude 26 degrees 5 minutes south, longitude 306 degrees 59 minutes west, 308 degrees 54 minutes per observation. Saturday, 23rd. Ditto winds and weather. Variation per evening amplitude 17 degrees 30 minutes west. Wind ditto, course south 64 degrees 14 minutes west. Distance 124 miles, latitude 26 degrees 59 minutes, longitude 309 degrees 6 minutes west, 311 degrees 28 minutes per observation. Sunday, 24th. Gentle breezes and fair weather. And A.M. took the opportunity of a fine morning to stay the main mast and set up the topmast rigging. Saw an albatross. Wind ditto. Course south 66 degrees 45 minutes west, distance 117 miles, latitude 27 degrees 45 minutes south, longitude 311 degrees 7 minutes west, 313 degrees 41 minutes per observation. Monday, 25th. Gentle gales and fair weather. Variation per evening azimuth 24 degrees 20 minutes west, and by the morning amplitude 24 degrees west longitude. By observation of the circle around a dot, sun and crescent, moon is 3 degrees to the westward of the log, which shows that the ship has gained upon the log 1 degree 5 minutes in 3 days, in which time we have always found the observed latitude to the southward of that given by the log. These joint observations proves that there must be a current setting between the south and west. Wind east by south, course south 58 degrees 30 minutes west, distance 122 miles, latitude 28 degrees 49 minutes south, longitude 313 degrees 6 minutes west, 316 degrees 6 minutes per observation. Tuesday, 26th. Fresh gales. Variation by azimuth in the evening 26 degrees 10 minutes west. Wind southeast by east. Course south 82 degrees west. Distance 122 miles. Latitude 29 degrees 6 minutes south. Longitude 315 degrees 24 minutes west. Wednesday, 27th. Ditto gales and cloudy. And A.M. died of the flux Henry Jeffs, Emmanuel Pereira, and Peter Morgan, seamen, The last came sick on board at Batavia, of which he never recovered, and the other two had long been past all hopes of recovery, so that the death of these three men in one day did not in the least alarm us.
These were the last deaths directly attributable to the dysentery contracted at Batavia. Though all was enjoying an unenviable reputation, Batavia seems to have had, this year, a more unhealthy season than usual. The Endeavour lost 7 persons while at Batavia, and 23, after sailing up to this date.
On the contrary, we are in hopes that they will be the last that will fall a sacrifice to this fatal disorder, for such as are now ill of it are in a fair way of recovering. Wind east by south, east by north northeast, course south 77 degrees 15 minutes west, distance 108 miles, latitude 29 degrees 30 minutes south, longitude 317 degrees 25 minutes west. Thursday, 28th. Moderate breezes and fair weather until near 5 o'clock in the a.m., when a heavy squall from the southwest, attended with rain, took us all aback, and obliged us to put before the wind, the better to take in our sails. But before this could be done, the foretopsail was split in several places. By 6 o'clock the topsails and mainsail were handed, and we brought to under the foresail and mizen. At 8 it fell more moderate, and we set the mainsail, and brought another foretopsail to the yard. At noon at strong gales and cloudy weather. Wind northeast by east, north, and southwest. Course south 85.12 degrees west. Distance 88 miles. Latitude 29 degrees 37 minutes south. Longitude 319 degrees 5 minutes west. March 1771. Friday, March 1st. Fresh gales and cloudy. Found the bits which secures the foot of the bowsprit, loose. This obliged us to put before the wind until they were secured in the best manner our situation would admit. This done, we hauled our wind again to the westward under the courses and close reefed topsails. Wind southwest to south by west. Course south 86 degrees 45 minutes west. Distance 71 miles, latitude 29 degrees 41 minutes south, longitude 320 degrees 26 minutes west. Saturday, 2nd. First part fresh gales and cloudy, remainder little wind, with some few showers of rain, a sea from the southwest. Wind southerly, course south 60 degrees west, distance 80 miles, latitude 30 degrees 21 minutes south. Longitude 321 degrees 46 minutes west. Sunday, 3rd. First part little wind. Remainder gentle gales and clear weather, and the sea pretty smooth. Wind northeast. Course south 58 degrees 15 minutes west. Distance 71 miles. Latitude 31 degrees 1 minute south. Longitude 323 degrees 2 minutes west. Monday, 4th. And the P. M had a moderate breeze, which continued until 5 o'clock in the a.m., when it fell calm, and soon after a breeze sprung up at southwest. In the evening, and most part of the night, the weather was dark and cloudy, with much lightning to the westward. Variation 25 degrees 35 minutes west. Winds northeast to southwest. Course south 67 degrees 45 minutes west. Distance 87 miles. Latitude 31 degrees 54 minutes south. Longitude 324 degrees 36 minutes west. Off coast of Natal. Tuesday, 5th. Fresh gales from the south-southwest, with squally, rainy weather, with which we stood to the westward. In the evening some people thought they saw the appearance of land to the northward. But this appeared so improbable that I, who was not on deck at this time, was not acquainted with it until dark, when I ordered them to sound, but found no ground with 80 fathoms, upon which we concluded that no land was near. But daylight in the morning proved this to be a mistake, by shewing us the land at the distance of about 2 leagues off. We had now the wind at southeast, blowing fresh right upon the land. When we made the land we were standing to the westward. But, thinking the other the best tack to get off on, we wore, and hauled off to the eastward, and by noon, had got an offing of about 4 leagues, the land at this time extending from northeast by north to west-southwest. This part of the coast of Africa which we fell in with lies in about the latitude of 32 degrees 0 minutes south, and longitude 331 degrees 29 minutes west, and near to what is called in the charts Point Natal. It was a steep craggy point, very much broke, and looked as if the high, craggy rocks were islands. To the northeast of this point the land in general appeared to rise, sloping from the sea to a moderate height, the shore, alternately rocks and sands. About 2 leagues to the northeast of the point appeared to be the mouth of a river, which probably may be that of St. John's. At this time the weather was very hazy, so that we had but a very imperfect view of the land, which did not appear to great advantage. Wind south-southwest to southeast, course per log north 31 degrees west, distance 32 miles, latitude 31 degrees 5 minutes south per observation, 31 degrees 7 minutes per reckoning, longitude 331 degrees 19 minutes per observation, 324 degrees 56 minutes per reckoning. Wednesday, 6th. Moderate gales, with hazy, rainy weather. Stood to the eastward all the day, having the land in sight, which at 4 p.m. extended from northeast by north to southwest by west, distant 5 leagues. At 6 in the morning we could only see it at west distant 7 or 8 leagues. At noon found the ship by observation 90 miles to the southward of account. Thus far the current has carried us to the south since the last observation, which was only 2 days ago, but it is plain, from the position of the coast, that we have been carried full as far to the west also, notwithstanding we have been standing all the time to the east-northeast. The ship was now in the Agulhas current. Wind southerly. Course south 54 degrees east, distance 37 miles, latitude 32 degrees 4 minutes south, 330 degrees 44 minutes per observation, 323 degrees 36 minutes per reckoning. Thursday, 7th. Cloudy, hazy weather, winds varying between the southwest by south and southeast by south, a light breeze at 1 p.m. tacked, and stood to the westward. Land at north, distant about 8 leagues. At 6 saw it extending from north by west to west by north, distant 5 or 6 leagues. At 8 tacked, and stood to the eastward till 12, then again to the westward, standing 4 hours on one tack, and 4 on the other. At noon very cloudy, had no observation, saw the land extending from north by west to west by north. Wind southerly. Course south 156 degrees 5 minutes west, distance 72 miles, latitude 32 degrees 54 minutes south, longitude 331 degrees 56 minutes west per observation, 323 degrees 54 per reckoning. Friday, 8th. In the P.M. stood to the westward, with the wind at south by west until 4 o'clock. Then again to the eastward, having the land in sight, extending from north-northeast to west by north, distant 8 leagues. At 12 the wind veered to the eastward, and before noon blowed a fresh breeze, with which we steered southwest. At 7, the land extending from north-northwest to east-northeast, distant 10 or 12 leagues, found the variation by the amplitude to be 28 degrees 30 minutes west, and by an azimuth 28 degrees 8 minutes west. At noon latitude observed 34 degrees 18 minutes, which is 93 miles to the southward of that given by the log, or dead reckoning since the last observation. Wind easterly, course south 39.12 degrees west, distance 109 miles, latitude 34 degrees 18 minutes south. Longitude 333 degrees 19 minutes west per observation, 324 degrees 23 minutes per reckoning. Saturday, 9th. A steady, fresh gale, and settled weather. At 4 in the P.M. had high land in sight, bearing northeast by north. At noon had little wind and clear weather, the observed latitude 46 miles to the southward of the log, which is conformable to what has happened the four preceding days, and by observation made of the sun and moon this morning found that the ship had gained 7 degrees 4 minutes west of the log since the last observation, 13 days ago. Wind ditto, course south 65 degrees west, distance 210 miles, latitude 35 degrees 44 minutes south, longitude 337 degrees 6 minutes west per observation, 326 degrees 53 minutes per reckoning. Sunday, 10th, in the P.M. had a light breeze at northeast until 4 o'clock, when it fell calm, and continued so until 11, at which time a breeze sprung up at west-northwest, with which we stood to the northward. In the morning found the variation to be 22 degrees 46 minutes. At noon the observed latitude was 14 miles to the northward of the log, which shows that the current must have shifted. Wind northeast westerly, course north 17 degrees 15 minutes west, distance 55 miles, latitude 34 degrees 52 minutes south, longitude 337 degrees 25 minutes west per observation, 327 degrees 12 minutes per reckoning. Monday, 11th. First part light airs at west, the remainder at a fresh gale at southeast, with which we steered west and west-northwest, in order to make the land, which was seen from the deck at 10 a.m. At noon it extended from northeast to northwest, distant 5 leagues, the middle appeared high and mountainous, and the two extremes low. Took several observations of the sun and moon, which gave the longitude, reduced to noon, as per column. Wind ditto southeast, course north 85 degrees west, distance 79 miles, latitude 34 degrees 45 minutes south, longitude 338 degrees 48 minutes west per observation, 328 degrees 35 minutes per reckoning. Off Cape Agulhas. Right bracket, Tuesday, 12th. In the P.M. at the wind at southeast and east, with which we steered along shore west and west-southwest. At 6 Cape Legulhas. Bore west, distance 3 leagues. At 8, the wind being then at south, we tacked and stood off, being about 2 leagues from the cape, which bore about west-northwest. In this situation, at 33 fathoms water, the wind continued between southwest and south all night, in times very squally, with rain. At 2 a.m. tacked to the westward until near 8, when we again stood off Cape Legulhas, northwest, distance 2 or 3 leagues. At 9 the weather cleared up, and the wind fixed at south by west. We tacked, and stood to the westward. At noon Cape Legulhas, bore northeast by north, distant 4 leagues. The land of this cape is very low and sandy next to the sea. Inland it is of a moderate height. Latitude 34 degrees 50 minutes south, longitude 339 degrees 23 minutes west, or 20 degrees 37 minutes east, deduced from yesterday's observations. Wind east southeast southerly, course south 69 degrees 30 minutes west, distance 37 miles. Latitude 34 degrees 58 minutes south, longitude 339 degrees 30 minutes per observation, 329 degrees 17 minutes per reckoning. Wednesday, 13th. In the P.M., having the wind at south, we steered along shore west by south 1-2 south until 3 o'clock, when, finding this course carried us off from the land, we steered west by north. At 6 o'clock Cape Legulhas, or the high land over it, bore east by north 12 leagues distance, and the westernmost land in sight northwest 1-2 west. We continued a west by north course, with the wind at southeast until daylight in the morning, when we hauled in northwest and northwest by north. At 8 the Cape of Good Hope northwest by north, and at 10 we were abreast of it, and distance off about 1 league or little more. We passed close without a rock, on which the sea broke very high. It lies about a league, right out to sea from the cape. After passing the cape, we kept alongshore at the distance of about 1 league off, having a fresh gale at southeast. At noon, the cape bore southeast, distance 4 leagues. Latitude observed 34 degrees 15 minutes south, longitude in, by our reckoning, corrected by the last observation, 341 degrees 7 minutes west, or 18 degrees 53 minutes east from Greenwich, by which the cape lies in 34 degrees 25 minutes south latitude, and 19 degrees 1 minute east longitude from Greenwich, which nearly agrees with the observations made at the Cape Town by Messrs. Mason and Dixon in 1761. A proof that our observations have been well made, and that as such they may always be depended upon to a surprising degree of accuracy. If we had had no such guide, we should have found an error of 10 degrees 13 minutes of longitude, or perhaps more to the east, such an effect the current must have had upon the ship. Thursday, 14th. Winds at southeast, a fresh gale, but as we approached the Lion's Tail or West Point, Table Bay, we had flurries of wind from all points of the compass. This was occasioned by the high land, for clear of it the wind was still at southeast, and blew so strong out of the bay that we could not work the ship in. We were therefore obliged to anchor a good way without all the ships at anchor in the road, in the whole 16 sail, viz., 8 Dutch, 3 Danes, 4 French, a frigate, and 3 store ships, and 1 English East Indiaman, who saluted us with 11 guns. We returned 9. The gale continued, which obliged us to lay fast all the morning. Friday, 15th. Strong gales at southeast all the afternoon, and most part of the night, though in the evening it fell a little moderate, which gave the Indiaman's boat an opportunity to come on board us, with a complement of a basket of fruit, etc. She was the Admiral Pocock, Captain Riddle, homeward bound from Bombay. In the morning we got under sail, and stood into the road, having variable light airs mostly from the sea. A Dutch boat from the shore came on board, in which were the master attendant and some other gentlemen. The former directed us to a proper berth, where about 10 o'clock we anchored in 7 fathoms water, a lousy bottom. The Lion Tail, or west point of the bay, bore west-northwest, and the castle southwest, distance 112 miles. I now sent a petty officer on shore to know if they would return our salute, but before he returned we saluted, which was immediately returned with the same number of guns. After this I waited myself upon the governor, who was pleased to tell me that I should have everything I wanted that the place afforded. My first care was to provide a proper place ashore for the reception of the sick, for which purpose I ordered the surgeon to look out for a house where they could be lodged and dieted. This he soon found, and agreed with the people of the house for 2 shillings a day per man, which I found was the customary price and method of proceeding. I afterwards gave the surgeon an order to superintend the whole. Remarks on dysentery. Few remarks have happened since we left Java Head that can be of much use to the navigator, or any other person, into whose hand this journal may fall. Such, however, as have occurred I shall now insert. After our leaving Java Head we were 11 days, before we got the general southeast trade wind, in which time we did not advance above 5 degrees to the south, and 3 degrees to the west, having all the time variable light airs of wind, interrupted by frequent calms, the weather all the time hot and sultry, and the air unwholesome, occasioned most probably by the vast vapors brought into these latitudes by the easterly trade wind and westerly monsoons, both of which blow at this time of the year in this sea. The easterly winds prevail as far as 12 or 10 degrees south, and the westerly winds as far as 6 or 8 degrees. Between them the winds are variable, and I believe always more or less unwholesome, but to us, it was remarkable from the fatal consequences that attended it, for whatever might be the cause of first bringing on the flux among our people, this unwholesome air had a great share in it, and increased it to that degree, that a man was no sooner taken with it than he looked upon himself as dead. Such was the despondency that reigned among the sick at this time, nor could it be by any means prevented. When every man saw that medicine, however skillfully administered, had not the least effect, I shall mention what effect only the imaginary approach of this disorder had upon one man. He had long tended upon the sick, and enjoyed a tolerable good state of health. One morning, coming upon deck, he found himself a little griped, and immediately began to stamp with his feet, and exclaim, "I have got the gripes, I have got the gripes, I shall die, I shall die." In this manner he continued until he threw himself into a fit, and was carried off the deck, in a manner, dead. However, he soon recovered, and did very well. We had no sooner got into the southeast trade wind than we felt its happy effect, though we lost several men after, but they were such as were brought so low and weak, that there were hardly a possibility of their recovery, and yet some of them lingered out in a state of suspense a month after, who, in all probability, would not have lived 24 hours before this change happened. Those that were not so far gone remained in the same state for some time, and at last began to recover. Some few, however, were seized with the disorder after we got into the trade wind, but they had it but slightly, and soon got over it. It is worth remarking that of all those who had it in its last stage, only one man lived, who is now in a fair way of recovering. And I think Mr. Banks was the only one that was cured at the first attack that had it to a great degree, or indeed at all, before we got into the southeast trade, for it was before that time that his cure was happily effected. It is to be wished, for the good of all seamen, and mankind in general, that some preventative was found out against this disease, and put in practice in climates where it is common, for it is impossible to victual and water a ship in those climates, but what some one article or another, according to different people's opinions, must have been the means of bringing on the flux. We were inclinable to lay it to the water we took in at Prince's Island, and the turtle we got there, on which we lived several days. But there seems to be no reason for this, when we consider that all the ships from Batavia this year suffered by the same disorder as much as we have done, and many of them arrived at this place in a far worse state, and yet not one of the ships took any water in at Prince's Island. The same may be said of the Harker Indiaman, Captain Paul, who sailed from Batavia soon after our arrival, directly for the coast of Sumatra. We afterwards heard that she, in a very short time, lost by sickness above 20 men. Indeed, this seemed to have been a year of general sickness over most parts of India. The ships from Bengal and Madras bring melancholy accounts of the havoc made there by the united force of sickness and famine. Some few days after we left Java we saw, for 3 or 4 evenings succeeding one another, boobies fly about the ship. Now, as these birds are known to roost every night on land, they seemed to indicate that some missile and was in our neighborhood. Probably it might be the island Selim, which island I find differently laid down in different charts, both in name and situation. The variation of the compass off the west coast of Java is about 3 degrees west, which variation continues, without any sensible difference in the common track of ships, to the longitude of 288 degrees west, latitude 22 degrees 0 minutes south. After this it begins to increase apace, insomuch that in the longitude of 295 degrees, latitude 23 degrees, the variation was 10 degrees 20 minutes west. In 7 degrees more of longitude and 1 of latitude it increased 2 degrees. In the same space farther to the west it increased 5 degrees. In the latitude of 28 degrees and longitude 314 degrees it was 24 degrees 20 minutes. In the latitude 29 degrees and longitude 317 degrees it was 26 degrees 10 minutes, and continued to be much the same for the space of 10 degrees farther to the west. But in the latitude of 34 degrees, longitude 333 degrees we observed it twice, to be 28.14 degrees west, but this was the greatest variation we observed, 4 in the latitude of 35.12 degrees, longitude 337 degrees, it was 24 degrees, and continued decreasing, so that of Cape Laguillas it was 22 degrees 30 minutes and in Table Bay it was 20 degrees 30 minutes west. From what I have observed of the current, it doth not appear that they are at all considerable until you draw near the meridian of Madagascar, for after we had made 52 degrees of longitude from Java Head, we found, by observation, our error in longitude was only 2 degrees, and it was the same when we had made only 19 degrees. This error might be owing partly to a current setting to the westward, or, what I thought most likely, that we did not make sufficient allowance for the set of the sea before when we run, and, lastly, the azimuth longitude of Java Head might be wrong. If any error lays there, it arises from the imperfection of the charts I made use of in reducing the longitude from Batavia to the above-mentioned head, for it cannot be doubted, but the longitude of Batavia is well determined. After we had passed the longitude of 307 degrees, we began to find the effects of the westerly currents, for in 3 days our error in longitude was 1 degree 5 minutes. Its velocity kept increasing as we got to the westward, insomuch that 4 or 5 days successively, after we had made the land, we were drove to the southwest or southwest by west by the currents not less than 20 leagues a day, and this continued until we were within 60 or 70 leagues of the Cape, where we found the current to set sometimes one way and sometimes another, but mostly to the westward. After the boobies above mentioned left us, we saw no more birds till we got nearly abreast of Madagascar, where, in the latitude of 27.34 degrees, we saw an albatross. After that time we saw more of these birds every day, and in greater numbers, together with several other sorts. One sort about as big as a duck, of a very dark brown color, with a yellowish bill. The number of these birds increased upon us as we approached the shore. As soon as we got into soundings, we saw gannets, which we continued to see as long as we were on the bank, which stretches off Laguillas 40 leagues and extends along shore to the eastward from Cape Falls, according to some charts, 160 leagues. The extent of this bank is not well known, however, it is useful in directing shipping when to haul in to make the land. At anchor, Table Bay. Right bracket, Saturday, 16th. Variable light airs all this day. Moored the ship and struck yards and topmast, and in the morning got all the sick, 28, ashore to quarters provided for them, and got off fresh meat and greens for the people on board. Sunday, 17th. In the A.M. sailed for England the Admiral Pocock, Captain Riddle, by whom I sent letters to the Admiralty and Royal Society. About noon came on a hard, dry gale from the southeast. Monday, 18th. In the P.M. anchored in the offing an English ship, which proved to be the Houghton Indiaman from Bengal. In the A.M. it fell moderate, and we began to water the ship. Tuesday, 19th. Variable gentle breezes. All this day employed repairing sails, rigging, watering, etc. Wednesday, 20th. In the P.M. sailed the Houghton Indiaman, who saluted us with 11 guns, which compliment we returned. This ship, during her stay in India, lost by sickness between 30 and 40 men, and had at this time a good many down with the scurvy. Other ships suffered in the same proportion. Thus we find that ships which have been little more than 12 months from England have suffered as much or more by sickness than we have done, who have been out near 3 times as long. Yet their sufferings will hardly, if at all, be mentioned or known in England, when, on the other hand, those of the Endeavour, because the voyage is uncommon, will very probably be mentioned in every newspaper, and, what is not unlikely, with many additional hardships we never experienced. For such are the disposition of men in general in these voyages, that they are seldom content with the hardships and dangers which will naturally occur, but they must add others which hardly ever had existence, but in their imaginations, by magnifying the most trifling accidents and circumstances to the greatest hardships and unsurmountable dangers without the immediate interposition of Providence, as if the whole merit of the voyage consisted in the dangers and hardships they underwent, or that real ones did not happen often enough to give the mind sufficient anxiety. Thus posterity are taught to look upon these voyages as hazardous to the highest degree. Thursday, 21st. Fine pleasant weather. Employed getting on board water, overhauling the rigging, and repairing sails. Sail it for Batavia, a Dutch ship. Friday, 22nd. Saturday, 23rd. Sunday, 24th. Monday, 25th. Tuesday, 26th. Mostly fine pleasant weather. On the 23rd completed our water, after which I gave as many of the people leave to go on shore, to refresh themselves as could be spared at one time. Wednesday, 27th. Winds variable and clear. Pleasant weather. Sailed for Holland for sail Dutch ships. Thursday, 28th. Friday, 29th. Ditto weather. Employed fixing new topmast and backstays, repairing sails, etc. Saturday, 30th. In the P.M. anchored here the Duke of Gloucester, English East India ship from China. In the evening a prodigious hard gale of wind came on at southeast, which continued till about 3 o'clock in the morning. During the gales the Table Mountains and adjacent hills were capped with extraordinary wild clouds. The remainder of the daylight airs and pleasant weather. Sunday, 31st. Clear pleasant weather all this day. In the morning we got on board a whole ox, which we cut up and salted. I had eat ashore some of as good and fat beef as ever I eat in my life, and was told that I might have as good to salt, but in this, I was very much disappointed. The one I got was thin and lean, yet well toasted. It weighed 408 pounds. April 1771. Right bracket, Monday, April 1st. In the P.M. I observed a dark, dense haze like a fog bank in the southeast horizon, and which clouds began to gather over the Table Mountain. Certain signs of an approaching gale from the same quarter, which about 4 o'clock began to blow with great violence, and continued more or less, so the remainder of these 24 hours, the Table Mountain capped with white clouds all the time. The weather dry and clear. Tuesday, 2nd. First part fresh gales at southeast, the remainder little wind and calms. In the P.M. sailed for England the Duke of Gloucester Indiaman, who saluted us at his departure. In the A.M. anchored here two Dutch ships from Batavia, and a third at anchor under Penguin Island in distress. Put on shore some sick people. Wednesday, 3rd. Fine, pleasant weather. Some people on shore on liberty to refresh. The rest employed repairing sails and overhauling the rigging. Thursday, 4th. Ditto weather. Employed painting the ship and paying her sides. Friday, 5th. Variable light winds. Sailed for Holland three Dutch ships. Employed as above, and getting on board provisions, etc. Saturday, 6th. Gentle breezes, with some rain in the night. Sunday, 7th. Gentle breezes, and fine, pleasant weather, a signal for some ships being in the offing. Monday, 8th. Gentle breezes from the westward. In the night anchored here the Europa, an English East Indiaman from Bengal, and in the morning she saluted us with 11 guns, which compliment we returned. Tuesday, 9th. Little wind at southwest, with foggy, hazy weather. Employed making ready for sea. Wednesday, 10th. Gentle breezes at south-southeast and fair weather. Took on board 11 of our people from sick quarters. Thursday, 11th. Ditto weather. Employed getting on board various articles of provisions from the shore. Friday, 12th. Wind at southwest, fair weather. Set up the topmast rigging and bent the sails. Saturday, 13th. Fresh breezes at southwest, and cloudy, hazy weather, and the night anchored here a Dutch ship from Holland. She sailed about 3 months ago in company with two more. The news brought by this ship is that a war is daily expected between England and Spain. Signals out 4 or 5 sail more being in the offing, one of which is said to be a ship from England. Took leave of the governor, intending to sail tomorrow. Sunday, 14th. Wind westerly, gentle breezes. And the P.M. got all the sick on board, many of whom are yet in a very bad state of health. 3 died here, but this loss was made up by the opportunity we had of completing our full complement. In the morning unmoored, and got ready for sailing. Monday, 15th. None of the ships in the offing are yet arrived. Desirous as we must be of hearing news from England, I determined not to wait the arrival of these ships, but took the advantage of a breeze of wind from the west-southwest. Weighed and stood out of the bay, saluted with 13 guns, which compliment was returned both by the castle and Dutch commodore. The Europa saluted us as we passed her, which we returned. This ship was to have sailed with her before us, but not liking the opportunity she lay fast. At 5 in the evening anchored under Penguin or Robin Island in 10 fathoms water, the island extending from west-northwest to south-southwest, distant 1 or 2 miles. In the morning saw a ship standing in 2 Table Bay, under English colors, which we took to be an Indiaman. At noon latitude observed 33 degrees 49 minutes south, Cape Town south 20 degrees east, distant 7 miles. As we could not sail in the morning for want of wind, I sent a boat to the island for a few trifling articles we had forgot to take in at the Cape, but the people on shore would not permit her to land, so that she returned as she went, and I gave myself no further trouble at it. Mr. Banks, who was in the boat, was of opinion that it was owing to a mistake made respecting the rank of the officer commanding the boat. Be this as it may, it seems probable that the Dutch do not admit of strangers landing upon this island lest they should carry off some of those people which, for certain crimes, they banish here for life, as we were told was done by a Danish ship a few years ago. But they might have a better reason for refusing our boat to land, for it is not improbable, but what there might be some English seamen upon this island whom they had sent from the Cape, while we lay there, well knowing that if they came in my way I should take them on board. And this, I am told, is frequently done when any of His Majesty's ships are in the bay, for it is well known that the Dutch East India ships are mostly manned by foreigners. Remarks on Cape of Good Hope. The Cape of Good Hope hath been so often described by authors, and is so well known to Europeans, that any description I can give of it may appear unnecessary. However, I cannot help observing that most authors, particularly the author of Mr. Byron's Voyage, have heightened the picture to a very great degree above what it will bear, so that a stranger is at once struck with surprise and disappointment, for no country we have seen this voyage affords so barren a prospect as this, and not only so in appearance, but in reality. The land over the Cape which constitutes the peninsula formed by Table Bay on the north, and False Bay on the south, consists of high barren mountains. Behind these to the east, or what may be called the isthmus, is a vast extensive plain, not 1,000 part of which either is or can be cultivated. The soil consists mostly of a light kind of sea sand, producing hardly anything but heath. Every inch of ground that will bear cultivation is taken up in small plantations, consisting of vineyards, orchards, kitchen gardens, etc. Hardly any two lay together, but are dispersed from one another at some distance. If we may judge from circumstances, the interior parts of this country is not more fertile, that is, the fertile land bears a very small proportion to the whole. We were told that they have settlements 28 days' journey inland, which is computed at 900 English miles, and thus far they bring provisions to the Cape by land. It is also said that the Dutch farmers are so dispersed about the country that some have no neighbors within 4 or 5 days' journeys of them. admitting these to be facts, and it will at once appear that the country in general cannot be very fertile, for it would be absurd to suppose that they would raise provisions at such an immense distance, where the trouble and expense of bringing them to market must increase, in proportion, could it be done nearer. The Dutch assign another reason for being obliged to extend their scattered settlements so far inland, which is, they never disturb the original native, but always leave them in peaceable possession of whatever lands they may have appropriated to their own use, which in some places is pretty extensive, and that probably none of the worst, by which good policy the new settlers very seldom, if ever, meet with any disturbance from the natives. On the contrary, many of them become their servants, and mix among them, and are useful members to society. Notwithstanding the many disadvantages this country labors under, such as the industry, economy, and good management of the Dutch, that not only the necessary, but all the luxuries, of life are raised here in as great abundance, and are sold as cheap, if not cheaper, than in any part of Europe, some few articles excepted. Naval stores, however, do not want for price any more here than they do at Batavia. These are only sold by the company, who have a certain fixed exorbitant price, from which they never deviate. The inhabitants of the Cape Town are in general well-bred, and extremely civil and polite to all strangers. Indeed, it is their interest so to do, for the whole town may be considered as one great inn fitted up for the reception of all comers and goers. Upon the whole, there is perhaps not a place in the known world that can equal this in affording refreshments of all kinds to shipping. The bay is capacious, pretty safe, and commodious. It lies open to the northwest winds, which winds, we are told, very seldom blow very strong. In the winter months these winds are very strong, and make the anchorage in Table Bay anything but safe. But sometimes sends in a great sea, for which reason ships moor northeast and southwest, and in such a manner as to have an open hawse with northwest winds. The southeast winds blow frequently with great violence, but as this is right out of the bay it is attended with no danger. Near the town is a wharf built of wood, run out a proper distance into the sea for the conveniency of landing and shipping off goods. To this wharf water is conveyed in pipes, and by means of cocks. Several boats may fill water at one and the same time. The company keeps several large boats or hoys to carry goods, provisions, water, etc., to and from shipping, as well strangers as their own. Fuel is one of the scarcest articles they have, and is brought a long way out of the country, and consists of roots of trees, shrubs, etc. Except a few English oaks which they have planted, this country is wholly destitute of wood, except at too great a distance, to be brought to the Cape.
Since Cook's day large plantations have been made in the vicinity of Cape Town.
In the article timber, boards, etc., they are chiefly supplied from Batavia. Three of the winter months, viz., from the middle of May to the middle of August, the Dutch do not allow any of their ships to lay in Table Bay, but oblige them to go into False Bay, where there is a very safe harbor,
Simon's Bay, now the naval station, where there is a dockyard,
and every other conveniency both for their own shipping and strangers, and where every produce of the country can be had as cheap as at the Cape Town. The Dutch, I am told, never deviate from this custom of sending their ships to False Bay at this season of the year, notwithstanding there had not a gale of wind happened for many years that would have put them in the least danger in Table Bay. Table Bay is defended by a square fort, situated on the east side of the town, close to the sea beach, together with several other outworks and batteries along the shore of the bay on each side of the town. They are so situated as to be cannonaded by shipping, and are in a manner defenseless against a superior land force. The garrison at present consists of 800 regulars, besides militia of the country, which comprehend every man able to bear arms. They can, by means of signals, alarm the whole country in a very short time, and then every man is immediately to repair to the Cape Town. The French at Mauritius are supplied with large quantities of provisions from the Cape, viz., salted beef, biscuit, flour, and wine. While we lay in the bay two store ships belonging to the king, of the burthen of 50 or 60 gunships, and a snow, sailed for that island loaded with provisions, besides a large king's frigate we left in the bay taking in her cargo. The provisions contracted for this year by the French were salt beef, 500,000 pounds, flour, 400,000 pounds, biscuit, 400,000 pounds, and wine, 1,200 liters. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.